The Baudelaire's got a move on, and in a few moments the three children and the two adults were trekking up the 66-floor-long staircase. The youngsters were hoping that Esme might help carry the heavy crates of soda, but the city's sixth most important financial adviser was much more interested in telling them all about her meeting with the King of Arizona than in buttering up any orphans.
"He told me a long list of new things that are in,"
Esme squealed.
"For one thing, grapefruits. Also bright blue cereal bowls, billboards with photographs of weasels on them, and plenty of other things that I will list for you right now."
All the way up to the penthouse, Esme listed the new inn items she had learned about from His Arizona Highness, and the two Baudelaire sisters listened carefully the whole time. They did not listen very carefully to Esme's very dull speech, of course, but they listened closely at each curve of the staircase, double-checking their eavesdropping, to hear if Gunther was indeed behind one of the apartment doors. Neither Violet nor Sunny heard anything suspicious, and they would have asked Klaus, in a low whisper so the squallows couldn't hear them, if he had heard any sort of Gunther noise, but they could tell from his idiosyncrasy that he was still thinking very hard about something, and wasn't listening to the noises in the other apartments, any more than he was listening to automobile tires, cross-country skiing, movies with waterfalls in them, and the rest of the in things Esme was rattling off.
"Oh, and magenta wallpaper,"
Esme said, as the Baudelaires and the squallows finished a dinner of in foods, washed down with parsley soda, which tasted even nastier than it sounds.
"And triangular picture frames, and very fancy doilies, and garbage cans with letters of the alphabet stenciled all over them, and—"
"Excuse me,"
Klaus said, and his sisters jumped a little bit in surprise. It was the first time Klaus had spoken in anything but a mumble since they had been down in the lobby.
"I don't mean to interrupt, but my sisters and I are very tired. May we be excused and go to bed?"
"Of course," Jerome said. "You should get plenty of rest for the auction tomorrow. I'll take you to the Veblen Hall at 10:30 sharp, so—"
"No, you won't," Esme said. "Yellow paper clips are in, Jerome. So as soon as the sun rises, you'll have to go right to the stationery district and get some. I'll bring the children."
"Well, I don't want to argue," Jerome said, shrugging and giving the children a small smile. "Esme, don't you want to tuck the children in?"
"Nope,"
Esme answered, frowning as she sipped her parsley soda.
"Folding blankets over three wriggling children sounds like a lot more trouble than it's worth. See you tomorrow, kids."
"I hope so,"
Violet said, and yawned. She knew that Klaus was asking to be excused so he could tell her and Sunny what he had been thinking about, but after lying awake the previous night, searching the entire penthouse and tiptoeing down all those stairs, the eldest Baudelaire was actually quite tired.
"Good night, Esme. Good night, Jerome."
"Good night, children," Jerome said. "And please, if you get up in the middle of the night and have a snack, try not to spill your food. There seems to be a lot of crumbs around the penthouse lately."
The Baudelaire orphans looked at one another and smiled at their shared secret.
"Sorry about that," Violet said. "Tomorrow we'll do the vacuuming if you want."
"Vacuum cleaners," Esme said. "I knew there was something else he told me was in. Oh, and cotton balls, and anything with chocolate sprinkles on it, and—"
The Baudelaires did not want to stick around for any more of Esme's in-list, so they brought their plates into the nearest kitchen and walked down a hallway decorated with the antlers of various animals, through a sitting room past five bathrooms, took a left at another kitchen, and eventually made their way to Violet's bedroom.
"Okay, Klaus,"
Violet said to her brother, when the three children had found a comfortable corner for their discussion.
"I know you've been thinking very hard about something, because you've been doing that unique habit of yours where you don't pay a bit of attention to your surroundings."
"Unique habits like that are called idiosyncrasies," Klaus said.
"Stiplo,"
Sunny cried, which meant, "We can improve our vocabulary later. Tell us what's on your mind."
Sorry, Sonny, Klaus said. It's just that I think I've figured out where Gunther might be hiding, but I'm not positive. First, Violet, I need to ask you something. What do you know about elevators?
Elevators?
Violet said.
Quite a bit, actually.
My friend Ben once gave me some elevator blueprints for my birthday, and I studied them very closely. They were destroyed in the fire, of course, but I remembered that an elevator is essentially a platform surrounded by an enclosure that moves along the vertical axis via an endlessly looped belt and a series of ropes. It's controlled by a push-button console that regulates an electromagnetic braking system so the transport sequence can be halted at any access point the passenger desires. In other words, it's a box that moves up or down, depending on where you want to go. But so what?